This is URN The Pulse.
Welcome back to The Pulse. That was Vienna by Billy Joel. And we're now going to go on to another story with Fayaz, which is around Trump and the media.
Absolutely, yep. So another topic that's been in the news quite a lot recently in the last few days.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. And probably will continue to be in the news for the next few years, the way that things are looking. So the article that I've been reading is Donald Trump, How the Media Created the President, and basically... it's trying to explore one of the reasons of Trump's rise, and what the BBC are trying to say is that actually it's the media that have created Donald Trump, mainly by giving him sort of exposure time on air, because when you compare sort of the things that he said with respect to, say, you know, Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton, he shouldn't have gotten as much airtime as he did. And they were trying to report these things, these horrible things that he'd said, in a negative light. But contrary to what they were trying to do, people were actually sat there listening to the news, listening to what he had to say, and actually ended up liking it. So particularly in Trump's case, it seems to be a situation of almost not just any publicity is good publicity, but bad publicity is good publicity.
Yeah.
Which is very, very strange. I don't think there's been something anything like this, really, to be honest. And
I don't think even Farage has had that level of, because Nigel Farage, as much as personally I don't like watching him or hearing him or even thinking of his existence, but I think it's he doesn't say things as ridiculously controversial as Donald Trump. You know, there's nothing ever come out where he's been saying about how models are eating machines and how he's, you know, the locker room banter that's come out. But it is incredible the fact that Donald Trump has said these things and is now president-elect of the USA.
And that's the thing, because there's been this talk of a complementary rise in the alt-right, which is kind of a new sort of young right-wing kind of movement, who are very much against this whole idea of political correctness and who've actually been taking Donald Trump's you know, speeches and the things that he said in their stride, saying, you know, well, like, the free speech, he should be allowed to say that, and it's almost a good thing that he's allowed to say that and has a chance of winning the election. So I think a lot of it is down to this sort of reaction against you know, political correctness and kind of this whole culture of, you know, trigger warnings and that kind of thing, which is slightly worrying in my
I think that anything can be used as a resource. You can have one thing and both sides of the campaign, the argument, whatever, can use it, you know, like this free speech thing. It's like, oh, he's entitled to say that because it's free speech. It's like, well, there's free speech and then there's,
you're running for president,
there's threatening to kick an entire religion out of a country. You know, there's a difference.
I think one of the things that's interesting about this as well is the article that you've been reading is obviously talking about how it's kind of the media have created it, and almost as if it's just kind of happened. Oh, Trump didn't realise that was happening. Oh, how convenient for him. But actually, I think there's probably been a lot of manipulation. Probably, you know, not just with Donald Trump. I'm sure Hillary Clinton's campaign will have been like, you know, we need to get, you know, good press and that kind of thing. But it's been announced today that Trump has, you know, he's announced two of his top aides within the White House, and the person that he's given chief strategist to is the head of a right-wing media company. So he's clearly in there.
That's
with
very
the media
tactical
company.
To get them.
Yeah, you know, like he knows that the way people digest information now is on social media, is, you know, through the papers, you know. But that's the way that you get people. It's not necessarily through things like the rallies and stuff like that. Like, obviously people watch the rallies, but the way I've not gone onto the TV and thought, oh, I'm going to turn this channel on because I know a rally is on live. It's when you see it on Facebook. It's when, and so if he is, you know, controlling the media, then that's kind of the way he can do it, I suppose.
And equally, it works very in favour of the media as well, because how do they make money? They make money through ratings. How do they get ratings? Through the personality.
And they show controversial things that people want to watch. Exactly. Well,
that's the thing, because his rhetoric is mainly like hate speech, essentially. So it's going to blow up on social media. It's going to be prevalent because it's most of what he says is headline grabbing. People buy into it. And then obviously you have your share features on Facebook, Twitter. The more that circulates, the more of a, it's like a snowball effect almost. And it's like he's become an unstoppable train, and we've seen.
Yeah, that's another interesting thing, because I feel like this whole election has been really a battle of characters, really. You have this character of Donald Trump, you know, billionaire, businessman, whatever, saying all these crazy stuff.
Who's been bankrupt five times, just saying.
Yeah.
just getting in there.
against, you know, Hillary Clinton, who's viewed as kind of a boring, sort of lesser of two evils. But what I find really interesting is, does anyone actually know what policies they stood for?
I know, this is the thing. Like, other than the fact that Donald Trump wants to build a wall and Hillary Clinton doesn't. I don't know what they stand for.
Yeah.
What I think is amazing in terms of this idea that the media has made Trump is the fact that sooner they say, oh, he said all these things. And then I think the media's played a really big part in his ability to just dismiss things. Mm. Like when it was, he was like, oh, that was just locker room ban or whatever. So, you know, the media says, oh, this is what he said to refute the claims, dismiss it. But it's like, what I think the media doesn't quite touch on is that so he claims it's locker room banter, but it wasn't said in a locker room. Yeah. It was said wherever
on
it was said,
trail,
which means it's not locker room banter. It's what,
and
he's
quite frankly,
thinking
even if it
normal.
Was,
it's
yeah,
not acceptable.
It
It's not locker room banter when it's not in a locker room, which means it becomes, well, at least for him, normalized. And I think the media's played a big part in not necessarily recognizing that, but just allowing him to dismiss his claims, because all over the front pages is what he said to dismiss them. So people go, well, he's dismissed it, so
the,
whatever.
The interesting thing is that I mean, the article makes note of how the top 100 sort of newspapers in circulation that are printed. 98 of those have been very critical of Donald Trump. Only two of them have actually come out in support of him. And one was only half-heartedly, because Mike Pence was running alongside him. The issue really seems to be, according to this article, is the fact that these media outlets are reporting on Trump in a negative light. And I think that might be something to do with the fact that the general public see the media as a part of the establishment, and they look at these bad stories on Trump and they think, oh yeah, another classic story of the elite.
You're
trying to make me vote.
Then when
way,
they
yeah.
release the thing about how Hillary Clinton's emails are being embedded, oh my god, I can't believe this.
It's incredible. Yeah. It's absolutely incredible that this email scandal, where Hillary Clinton essentially deleted a bunch of emails, is being equated to the sort of things
that
Trump
he's
has said.
Doing.
I just find it ridiculous.
The fact the FBI were like, we're not going to investigate her anymore.
Then when they then reopened it, and then a couple of days later they closed it and said that nothing had been said, I noticed that just because I get a BBC News update when they put news stories. I didn't see it anywhere else. It didn't come up on Facebook. You know, I didn't hear people talking about, oh yeah, have you heard Hillary's been like cleared of everything?
Yeah.
Because it just wasn't reported, because they're not interested in it. They're where they are in Donald Trump talking about women in the way he does, and saying that all Muslims are terrorists and all this kind of thing. It's almost as if, you know, people just want to hear this controversy.
I do think that as much as we all hate Trump, we do have to not glaze over the fact that Hillary Clinton deleted those emails, though, because I think it was over 30,000 emails. You know, it wasn't a message to her nan sort of thing. You know, that she's obviously covering up something big there.
Well, it's because, wasn't it, she deleted them because she was sending
she sent
word,
them
guys.
On a private email.
Yeah, she was sending like federal or state like conversation as such, but on her like personal private email account, which is why she then deleted them all, because it's really easy to hack into or something.
It has been investigated by the FBI, and they have said that she didn't do anything illegal.
Just to touch on what Beth said before about Trump's rhetoric being normalised, I think that kind of plays into the fact that when Hillary Clinton does do something controversial, there'll be a lot more uproar, just because there are less stories posting her in a negative light.
Yeah.
And that has an effect on, obviously, how the public views
it. It always becomes like Trump says something, it's like, ah, yeah, but it's Trump. So, like, you expect that from him. It's like, oh, great, we're going to expect that from our president-elect. Woo! Not great.
And I think also the FBI did say that Hillary was fed questions for debate, so...
What do you mean, fed questions?
As in, she was aware of what the questions were going to be
from the audience.
No, oh, really?
They were leaked to her.
Leaked, yeah. So she was more prepared.
Wow. Yeah.
Mm. I suppose, again, that's something that the media will have just taken and run with.
But I think it comes back to the old lesser of two evils.
Yeah,
like.
Yeah, exactly.
And even still, I find it very difficult to sort of compare that to the things that Trump has said, you know, labeling Mexicans as, you know, rapists and criminals and threatening to deport millions and millions of them. I find it hard to equate those two.
Mm. Yeah, well, it's like you say the lesser of two evils. America had their lowest turnout since 1996 because it was like, oh, well, we've got two evils, so I just won't vote because I don't know who to vote for. And then it seems like those who wanted to vote for Trump were like, oh, we've got to vote for Trump because otherwise he's not going to get in. So he almost won because those who, you know, completely support him voted, and those who were on the fence but thought probably Hillary was better just didn't vote. Mm.
And the thing that's interesting with that as well is that there was record turnout to polling stations where there were larger minority groups.
Yeah.
So that shows what the who were the people were that weren't voting.
Well, this is one of the figures that amazed me. It was the fact that 56% of the female vote was for Trump. Like, how can you listen to that and be like, oh, I'm a woman, I will vote?
Was that of, like, the overall females, or was it just white females?
It may have been white females, actually.
Yeah, I think it was like 43 or something.
But it's the idea that, because I was watching an interview, and basically what this woman was saying, she was from one of the southern states, and she was basically saying, well, I'm a woman and I know that I get hormonal, and so therefore if Hillary Clinton's a woman, she might get hormonal, and if she's got the nuclear codes, that's not right. And I was just there watching this interview like, oh my god, what world do I live in?
I think one of the big questions floating around is, did Hillary Clinton lose on the grounds that she's a woman? Because is America ready for a female president?
Well, this is the thing, is, you know, it's sort of been quite clear that America is to an extent quite racist, but have they just proven that they're more sexist than racist?
Yeah,
which is quite a big deal.
I can't remember who it was tweeted it, but on the morning of the results, I remember reading a tweet from someone in America, and it had basically said, this election has just showed that America is more sexist than it is racist, and it's pretty damn racist.
Yeah, it was like a comedian or someone random, wasn't it?
I feel like Hillary Clinton believes that herself, because even in her speech after her concession speech, she ended with a note of, little girls should believe in their dreams.
Yeah.
So it's definitely...
Yeah, but she's sad because she shouldn't have to say that.
Mm. Right, of course.
You know, we look at America as one of the most progressive, like, it's one of the most dominant country in the world, and yet a woman who just run for president has had to remind young girls that they can achieve things. Like, that's actually seriously upsetting.
Yeah. And as well, you know, like, because I remember reading something before the election, a couple of months before, and it said, basically, how amazing will it be that if Hillary Clinton wins the election, there will be Germany, USA and the UK will be led by women. You know, first time in history that will ever have happened. But clearly, America's not ready
for that kind of thing yet. They had a black president. Were they ready for that? You know, a lot of people would argue, no, they actually weren't. So it's kind of like, oh, we weren't ready for that, so we're going to have to go completely the opposite direction.
Like, 10 steps back.
Yeah, we're going to have to go the complete opposite way just to redeem ourselves, you know?
Well, I mean, I like to be optimistic about these things. I'd like to think that hopefully it wasn't because she's a woman. And who knows, I think there's been a lot of rumours about Michelle Obama running in 2020. Against Kanye. Could you imagine?
I was saying to my friends, I was like, how long do you have to live in the USA to be eligible to vote? Because I might move now so that I'm able to vote for Michelle Obama.
Yeah.
We mentioned earlier about the percentage of women that voted for Trump, and the statistics, 52% of overall women went for Clinton.
Sorry, that was it, 52.
But 63% of white women went for Trump.
Wow.
Yeah, I knew it was 50. Sorry, that's just my mistake with the percentage.
It's crazy, isn't it?
It is. That's something that you just think that is unbelievable. Like, you can't have figures that high in that scenario.
It's funny as well. It's like, I watch, not ashamed to say, I watch a lot of, you know, the... like nighttime talk shows in America, Late Show, Late, all that sort of stuff. And there was, I saw a compilation on Facebook of like all of their hosts' reactions to the news that Trump had got in. And not a single one of them was like, well, it's fine. They were all just like, sorry, like, if you're in a coma, go back into it. Like, yeah. You don't want to wake up today. It's not the day to wake up. It's like, so there, you know, there weren't a load of public figures, like celebrities saying,
oh, there were so many celebrities that were in support of it. Did you see Lady Gaga had been, when it was announced, she led a protest outside Trump Towers in New York.
Yeah.
I was just like,
But again, though, not against Trump.
I think, not to be too sceptical there, but is that just celebrities whipping up, you know?
Trying to
If Lady Gaga didn't have a new album coming out, would she still have been there protesting? You know, you don't know.
That's good point.
Not to be overly sceptical.
Well, that's a whole other conversation, isn't it?
I think just with the US election, it just feels like everyone's kind of just trying to get their own quids in on it.
Yeah, well, that's... Yeah. That's
suddenly,
yeah.
Suddenly,
general,
everyone's
it?
A political expert. I love it. Yeah, I love it when it happens.
Yeah, I always, I feel both sides with that, because you know how everybody always says, oh, suddenly everyone on Facebook's like a politician, but then at the same time, like, would it be right if everybody just ignored something like this?
True. Yeah.
So.
Wow, I think there's been so much Donald Trump discussion this week. We're going to go into a song again. If you want to get involved with the conversation, go to urn1350.net and send us a text, or tweet us at urn1350.
This is URN, The Pulse.